Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, your home of fantasy footy draft all year round. We're deep into ranking season now, and we'll be going through our top 30 AFL fantasy defenders for the 2020 season. I'm your host, Doss, and as always, we have Mr. Cam McLaughlin. Welcome.
G'day, mate. Yeah, just feeling a little bit dusty as we head into these ranks. It was, to be honest, I found this one quite hard to rank, but I'm also just very hungover, so this could be interesting.
Yes, dusty Cam, but we do have a very special guest, older than Father Time itself. A big welcome back to the Statesman.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. It's great to be back, and thanks for recording early so it fits in with my schedule. And you gotta love ranking season. Well, you two don't, George Hall and Smith and Bailey Williams.
Oh, I mean, George Hall and Smith is a defender this year, guys. He may show up later in the pod.
Later or
wait
early?
And see.
Well, if he's in there at all, it's early.
All right, we will announce that we are recording this on Saturday, the 18th of January. So if any extra information comes out before, because of course we release on a Wednesday, so that's a fair way away. News comes out every day, so we'll just be wary of that some ranks could change within that time, but we hope not. But we'll be revealing our ranks a little bit differently to the last show on this one. We'll go tier by tier, and Statesman will take us through his ranks, then Cam will take us through his, and we'll debate and discuss. Statesman, do you want to take us through your first tier?
Yeah, first tier only has two players, with number one Jake Lloyd and number two Rory Laird.
All right, I don't think we have any arguments there. Cam, is yours the same?
So I've got two tiers for those two boys. I think Lloyd will score about 10 points on average higher than Laird, and so I've put him in a tier on his own, and Laird coming in second there will probably be about 3 or 4 points above the next pack.
So my first question there is, that seems result on 2019 average, to be fair, if you're talking the 10 points, because that's, it was basically 10.2 points of difference. But if we actually go back the previous year, you actually flip that. So my issue with Jake Lloyd is we're talking about his role, and Jordan Dawson becomes part of that subject as well. But we saw at the second half of the year that his average seemed to nosedive a little bit. He was motoring along looking like more of a Doherty average of 2017. So dropped right away where Laird went the other way. So he started very slowly and then he started to improve and increase. I think part of the problem with ranking season is that we have this philosophy that everyone seems to be going up. And I think there's a certain level when you get to this level of tiering where there is regression more likely when people have had a best season. And I think it was hard not to have Jake at number one because we've seen him be an absolute pig. But the reality is his role may be a little bit confused, and we don't know what's going to happen there. So I feel more comfortable saying there's a slight regression happening for him, and I'm still projecting both of those around the 100 mark. So Rory sort of hits in between where his last two seasons were, and Lloydy does a similar thing. So that's why I've got them both put together. I feel like there's a bit of a concern. He maybe should not be number one, but I don't have the right answer to replace him. So that's why I've put him there.
Yeah, and I think at this point as well, like these two guys are going in the top two rounds anyway. And so, you know, splitting into two tiers was maybe splitting hairs, but I agree with you. Lloyd will still be probably the number one defender. I can't think of a reason why he wouldn't be.
Now, just to reiterate that conversation, what you said, you're right, Stato, I'm wrong.
Oh, my goodness. That's probably about the only time you're going to hear that for the rest of the show. Just out of spite.
Doss?
Yeah, I think with the Lloyd-Laird argument, just for one final sort of point here, with the Lloyd thing, and you say the regression could be potentially more likely than, say, a Laird regression, because we've seen Laird just do it over and over again. Like that is what I agree with you, and I totally agree with your fact, though. There's no one else that can really replace him in that spot, though, and I think he is the safest guy to potentially hit 100+. And do we think... I mean, there's a scenario where we don't get any 100+ defenders this year.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of don't buy into it as much as... It's been talked about on this pod a fair bit that, you know, maybe defenders drop away across the pack, and I just don't buy into that narrative at the moment. I don't see why it would change too much.
All right, well, Stato, unless there's anything else, should we go through your second tier?
Most certainly. Now, I have four players in my second tier. At number three, Jack Crisp. At number four, Basher Hooley. Number five, Tom Stewart. And number six, James Sicily.
Cam, take us through yours.
So I've got Crisp at number three, Tom Stewart at four, Brody Smith at five, and then I've got my next tier, actually, but I've got Dan Houston coming in at six.
Fair few differences here in this second batch. Let's talk about some differences. Statesman, who do you want to touch on? You have your top three identical. Then you have a split here with Basher Hooley at four. Obviously, a big average last season. Can you take us through that? I've got Basher a fair bit lower in my ranks. I won't be revealing my ranks on this episode to get through quickly. You can check those out on the website, but you might not want to, as usual.
Yes, please laugh
with
at
Dossies. But with Basher, can you explain why you think he can back up his phenomenal season last year?
I'm suggesting he's not going to back it up. In fact, I've got a regression. My projection for him is around 96. So we're talking basically an 8-point regression. It was just very hard with his role that he had in 2019 to suggest that he's going to go any further back. Although, to be honest, I don't feel hugely comfortable with him there, but I didn't feel hugely comfortable with him in 2019 whatsoever, but he kept on pumping them out. So he's got the role, and I'll suggest they're going to back it in. It's injury that actually generally is the biggest concern for me, to be honest. But if he lasts fully fit, and that's what we've got to assume when we're doing the rankings, then I think... I'll be very surprised if he's not a top six defender with the current role he seems to have in that team. And it's sort of the line that Richmond actually has that has their scoring on the upward trend. Everything else seems to be not hugely fantasy relevant, to be honest. Jack Crisp, I've got basically breaking even, a slight regression. Tom Stewart, I can't see him honestly getting any better. I think that was a blinder year. I think, if anything, it's a slight regression. But James Sicily is the one that I'm predicting has her huge improvement in 2019 and gets where we're probably expecting him to be last year, to be honest.
Okay, Cam, do you want to take us through why? Well, I want to talk about Basher quickly and maybe my reasoning for dropping him down. And it is partially the games played factor, Stato. I mean, we only saw him play 19 last year, which, I mean, that's still a quality output, but he's never played 22 since 2015, which is bloody long time ago. And this was his career high year, which obviously when you're having a career high at age 32, it's not great. And I feel like we saw, obviously, Rance get injured last year and Jaden Short get injured in the back line as well. And Jaden Short... When he was healthy the year prior, they were, I don't think, quite 50-50 for the kick-ins, but it was a much heavier split with Jaden Short taking kick-ins. I think if he's healthy as well, we're going to see a fair bit of a bump in his kick-ins and maybe a dip for Hooley's as well. Just the disposals, he had 28 disposals a game this year, and that's three better than he's ever done before. His marks were really high. And the health, that's my concerns. I understand the game plan last year as well suited Basher to a T and he killed it. So I have a fair bit of regression for him and probably just a little bit more regression than you've factored in. But you can't really argue with having him that high with how well he played last year.
Oh, your argument's right, Doss. Rance coming back to this team's really going to hurt his output.
I was saying last year he had a great influence with Rance out. Rance Short out. He had a huge year. I'm saying this year we do have Jaden Short at least coming back into the team for the kick-ins. Obviously, Rance is not coming back.
But so. I will say Short. So talking about missing games, we can't rely on Short delivering 22 games either.
I think that's a big call. I think he can. I mean, it's a pretty unlucky injury that he got last year.
It was
an
unlucky elbow. Yeah.
It's not like it was a soft tissue. But with Hooley, like, I have him regressing more, like, considerably more. His average for me will be about 90, which is a fairly big drop. But I think that's taking into account age. It's taking into account a role change. It's taking into account a few different things that I just don't think he'll back it up. And on the flip side, I actually have Tom Stewart going a little bit bigger. And that may be a little bit controversial because it's, you know, probably counterintuitive to have someone that's gone career year last year and to improve yet again. I think that role that he plays, and the same role Sicily plays, the same role Vlosten played last year, is so valuable from a fantasy perspective. If you are let off the leash to intercept and kick out of defense, you're going to score big numbers. We've seen it sort of emerge in the last couple of seasons, and it's super good.
Hey, Cam, I just want to wonder if this doesn't have to factor in, but you have seen the news Tom Stewart's had a groin injury this preseason. Groins, for me, not something I want to really get too carried away with, but, I mean, do you factor that in at all to this ranking, his groin injury in the preseason? You're obviously not worried, so.
Yeah, I'm not at the moment, but it's one of those, let's wait until we get close to the start of the season, because it could go full Brad Crouch, right? And where he had a groin injury 2 seasons ago and missed the whole year pretty much. But it's something to be conscious of, but probably not something to affect the rank yet.
I'll be honest, I was a little bit surprised that Cam had a Geelong player on the up. I also will point out that Jaden Short, out of his 4 seasons that he's played, which he started getting games when he was 20 years of age, so it's not including, you know, any rookie years as such, has only played 1 season where he's played 22 games, 16, 16 and 12. So there is an injury history sitting there with Jordan. And we should comment, and I know we're not talking about DOS's rankings, but Sam Doherty sitting at number 3 for you, coming after 2 knee reconstruction. And I want to make this absolutely clear, he's well down the rankings for me. I understand everyone looking back at 2017 remarkable, but I always say an ACL is actually a 2-year history. 2 ACLs is a massive injury risk coming back, and players always take time to get back to their best, and it's generally they need to get through that 12 months. So I understand that there's this massive level that everyone was used to. There is going to be a lot of salary cap talk about him because of the reduced cost that he's going to be to salary cap owners. The reality is, my warning to everyone is, don't expect Doherty to be over 100. We've got to pull back and wait to see what the new Doherty is.
I think as well, like, from a draft, like, the amount of money or the amount of, you'll have to use a high pick to get him. Someone will do it.
Yep.
And if you don't use it, then you won't get him. And I'd be way more comfortable someone else taking that risk. And if he goes 120, good on that person for chasing him down. I'd feel way more comfortable taking anyone else that I've already mentioned before him. And actually, just speaking of which, Brody Smith.
Yes, he's a man.
What? Yeah, he is. You just think he's a...
Yeah, I think you have to prove he's going to be good rather than us prove that he's not, that he's a top 5 guy, Cam. Like, what's your reasoning there? I'm keen to hear this, actually.
Yeah. Oh, I actually think the role change to the wing benefited his play style significantly. He was fantastic in that role. He ended up averaging quite strong. It was something like he was a top 10 defender on points when he played in that role. I think he'll improve on that. And I think whereby everyone sort of thought Wayne Miller was going to be that sort of role for Adelaide last year, I think Brody Smith took over. They played better. Miller then slots into where Brody Smith was in the back line, and that's probably the status quo for this year.
28 years of age, he had a career high last year. I'm expecting a slight increase because of his role, but that still has him in the 80s average, not in the 90s, and you need to get in the 90s to be top 10.
Yep. Yeah, and I actually have him going at 92, so that'll be why.
And Cam, for your argument and for Statesman, which you've just mentioned as well, ACL injury, a two-year injury coming. This is his second year now coming off his ACL from a year ago. So, I mean, if he is going to improve, I mean, that's an argument for Cam as well. I've looked at Brody Smith and I've had a bit of a hard time ranking him as well. I think you're right in terms of he could get a very nice role next year. I also think he's one of these guys that is fairly tag target as well if he starts getting going as well. I do. He's a great user of the ball. So I think next year you're going to have either, you know, you're going to have Rory Sloane as well, obviously a tag target. But if Brody Smith gets off the leash next year, you know, you've got guys like Crouch and the Crouch brothers who you're not really going to tag too much. So Brody Smith comes in, you know, a lot of veterans leaving. Brody Smith seems to me like a pretty high tag target for next year.
Do teams tag wingers?
I think if they're getting off the chain.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting, like, I can't remember seeing it, but I think it's interesting that it could potentially happen, but it's, I'd say, a long bow on that one.
Well, Brody Smith, he averaged 90 from rounds 11 to 23 as well. So I've got him pretty high, just not as high as fifth overall. For Sam Doherty, the reasoning I put him there, because I can't get away with not having my reasoning, and it's because I've got my tier two, I've got as a much wider range than you guys. I don't think... I've had Crisp having a bit of regression here, and it's because I think last year we saw a fair few injuries with Collingwood, particularly around the midfield, where he actually did get a run through there for a few rounds. It wasn't significant, don't get me wrong. But I think also in the back line, you've got a few players coming back as well. You've got Langdon coming in. I had these
out injured. Down.
Langdon's still out, is he? Well, you've got guys like Taylor Adams coming in, Sire probably to move into injured. The midfield. Pendles. Where's he going to play if he's not playing midfield? You've got Isaac Quaynor moving there. Maynard's still there. Sharon Goat, does he get games? I just think with injured. Him, we're talking about guys like Zach Williams taking a dip because he spent a little chunk of time in the midfield. We did the CBAs and Jack Crisp had a few games where he had high centre bounce attendances and scored well. So I just think there is a slight regression there that you're not factoring in perhaps to Crisp. He had a 10-point jump on his year before at age 26. Was that due to the play style as well? I know they're a high disposal team, but they jumped in their disposals and marks from the year prior. So any slight dip in Collingwood's form, and I think Crisp takes a slight hit there. So that's where I had it.
Yeah, I have him as a slight regression too, to be honest. But I will say, I noticed you got Bailey Williams in your second tier. Sorry, Jordan Dawson. Same. But in my tiers, so when we're talking the second tier, which you've got that man in your second tier, I have the second tier, meaning that he needs a 15-point bump from this year's average. What I want you to tell me is, what is his role? Is it in defence? Is it in the midfield? Or is it as a half forward like he finished off the year?
Yeah, Statesman, this is where I differ from a fair few opinions on Jordan Dawson. I don't think he's going to be playing as that pure half back role, which is actually how he finished the tail end of the year. And was pretty fantasy relevant as well, averaging around the 85 or something in the last stretch there. But when he played...
Yeah, even average 85, I've got in my fourth tier.
That's not what I say he's going to average, Stato. Have you seen the stat from the one and only Fantasy Freako? When he plays on the wing, it is a 98 fantasy average.
When he plays... So you're saying he's going to play on the
wing? I'm saying we're going to see something similar to someone like a Lockie Whitfield who runs up and down the ground from, say, a half forward or a wing. Not
Jordan Dawson is Lockie Whitfield.
Listen, I'm high on him. That's I don't a big know why take. You're not. You're a Sydney man. 15 goals, okay. One behind. He's not going to be stuck on a half-back flank. He's going to be roaming the ground, using his elite disposal around the ground. He's a big guy, marks all day, loves to kick. I don't see why people are so low. I think it's a 90-plus, virtually guaranteed for Jordan Dawson next year. It was the first time he played 20 games. That's only when you get confidence, Statesman. Are you saying he's going to come into this year without confidence? He's just smashed the time trial. First pre-Christmas, came about third post-Christmas in the 3K-er. I see Jordan Dawson having a big breakout, and I'm not afraid to put my balls on the line, Statesman, for it.
Well, I'm happy for you to put your balls out there, buddy, but I want you to understand this, that the better Jordan Dawson gets and the more versatile he has become in the last 12 months, the more chance he is of being Mr. Fix-It. The reason why his average was in the low 80s is he went and solved problems. Now, if one of the problems is the delivery into the forward line from the half forward line, guess where Mr. Fix-It will go? And that's where you'll see his averages actually be in the high 80s, not the high 90s. I think, and I totally understand the love, the problem will be the love you have for footballers may not translate into the love you want from fantasy footballers. And if he is flexible, then that's the way they'll use him. And as you've seen with the Sydney list, they chop and change to what's needed on a weekly basis. That's a concern for the fantasy world, and that's been a trend for that club, and they've gone from being very highly fantasy relevant to right down.
I think that's really interesting around, you know, if he does become a Mr. Fix-It. We've seen Mr. Fix-It's work really well. So if they can score in one position, they sometimes can score anywhere, Mitch Duncan being a really good case of that. And for Jordan Dawson, you know...
Sorry, we went back to a Geelong player.
So for Jordan Dawson, if he is scoring that sort of high 80s average playing off the half forward, that's still probably in this tier. I think that's fine.
Yeah, I've got him in the fourth, averaging 88.
Okay, cool. Cool. Shall we move on to the next tier?
I think we shall, Cam.
So moving on to the third tier, number 7, I have Zach Williams. Number 8, Caleb Daniel. Number 9, Nick Newman, and that's with a regression. And two more, number 10, Christian Salem, and Dan the Man Houston at number 11.
So I start with Dan Houston in this tier at 6, then I go James Sicily at 7, Jordan Dawson for me is 8, I've bought into the DOS hype, I don't know if I'm going to recover. Number 9 is Doherty. Number 10 is Hooley, and that rounds out my tier, but to just keep consistent with Stato, my pick number 11 is Mr. Hearn.
Quick question for you. You have Hooley at 10, which is 6 positions below mine. What do you think he'll average?
I have him going 90. Bang on. So it's a range, so I have him from 90 to 93, but I'd suggest there's a fair bit of regression coming.
Yep, I agree with you, but I just don't see that much regression, depending on role, of course.
Yeah.
Can I say I felt a little bit uncomfortable with Daniel and Salem in the top 10? But it was so Salem, I'm saying, equals par, and Daniel, I had a slight regression, but it was hard if they keep their roles to say it's not going to be around that mark. But it just didn't feel right.
Yeah, and actually you saw it with Christian Salem, there was a lot of variance in his score output last year because, you know, at times he'd play predominantly in the mid and then other games he's playing off that halfback flank, which, you know, I think will continue this year because he's such a good user of the ball that they'll play him wherever they need him on the day. But I can see why you think he's going to be the same for sure. And Daniel, same. I see regression for Daniel. I think it was a massive season last year, and so I rank him a little bit outside that top 10, but we'll get to that in the next tier.
I think those two, you hit on it, they're pretty tough ones. I had Salem dropping a fair bit, and it's a little bit to do, I need to check whether there was injuries involved here, but his rounds 11 to 23, he dropped 8.8 points on his average. He averaged 94 sort of in the first, basically half of the season, dropped 10 points nearly in the second half. And then I look at also the fact that the competition for Melbourne, look at their injury list last year. this argument comes more to fruition here than it did with my Jack Crisp, which fell apart pretty quickly with Staceman. But look at Melbourne's injury list last year, and particularly in their defensive line, who they were missing as well. You had Stephen May, Jake Lever barely play. This year, you're going to be a lot stronger there. They've got guys to hopefully use the ball as well on the wing. Are they going to use Salem less to bring the ball out of defense and less to sort of be that connector? I think he's still going to be good, but I still see, like, say, a 5-ish point dip for him inbound, and rather than continuing that 89, nearly 90 average, which is really, really high for a defender, obviously, this year. Mm. Daniel, on the other hand, that's a real tough one to gauge, because if he keeps that fantasy-friendly role, he could be a lot higher too, because they sort of took off as well. The Dogs started being a really possession-happy team, basically, as he got injured, and he put some really good games together after the bye, just before getting injured. So he could be a lot higher as well. Now, Statesman, talk us through why you settled on them in those positions as well.
Oh, purely and simply because of the scoring history. So you had an actual look and the circumstances of where they were club was at. It was, even though I've got them as regressions, I couldn't give them massive regressions because they're very good users of the ball, those two. So the clubs will want the footy in their hand. So therefore, they're going to look for them as the people that bring the ball out of defence. So it's very hard to say no. So look, as much as my gut feel is saying that they shouldn't be as high as they are, the reality is their clubs think highly of them, so therefore they will back them in.
All right. Now, you've also got Nick Newman, and we'll talk about Nick Newman first, and then we'll talk through Dan Houston, who's a huge topic this preseason, and your differences there, because there is quite a big difference, I'd say, between Cam and your ranks in that. But take us through Nick Newman first. Doherty back, potentially. We know the injury history, but Doherty back. Sam Petrevsky, Seaton running a bit off the halfback line as well. But Nick Newman still at 10, and I don't have really any problem with that.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, my feeling is if Doherty is fit and right and ready to go, that he actually replaces Dale Thomas.
Yeah.
So I think that effectively becomes the role. I think Petrevsky, Seaton was actually more filling the roles and responsibilities required. I think he becomes a midfielder down the track. Now, whether that's straight away, whether that's inside and outside, I think it's a mixture of both, or it becomes a half-forward role, which he's done pretty well at. I think that's where he ends up being. So I think this is the only year that Sam Petrevsky Seaton actually has defender status. So I don't think Newman's role will change. I think if Doherty is fully fit, I think they will be comfortable that the ball's in Doherty's hands because he's a pretty decent user, so he'll be that rebound defender. So I think there will be a regression for Newman. I'm looking around that 4 to 5 points regression. I don't think it would be too much more than that. He's proven he's a very attacking intercept defender, and I think that's the way they'll use him. I also think that you'll find that Cade Stevens, being his last year,
vintage Stato. Welcome back, mate. Welcome back.
And it's purely and simply the term that I need to use after Jono and Steve-O called me on it. I believe, being his last year, that Steve-O himself will just be a bit player. And it's only one injury away. I hope not.
Luke Hodgie of 2019?
Yeah, I think he'll play the role and show leadership when he will. And if Doherty in any way is missing games or recovering, then it's Cade's role to ensure that things are looked after.
I differ so substantially on Newman. Like, really, he's way further down my list. In fact, he's 3 tiers away still.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big change. I actually think I buy into the fact that Petrevsky Seaton is going to play that role. I think that's not Newman's anymore, and they're training him in the preseason. He spent the whole preseason training out of defence. You don't probably...
And where's Newman training?
I haven't heard any news. I haven't heard
news. In the VFL?
Well, maybe. I've still got him ranked, right? He's still in my top 30. I think he's probably going to shift to a wing rather than playing that half-back role. I think a half-back line will look something like Doherty, Sam Petrescu-Seaton, and old mate Simo.
But, nah, I disagree, Cam.
Stevens. God, I don't know how many times I have to tell you guys.
By the way, Cam, Newman's back half of the year a lot better than his first half as well. 96 on the run home from 11 to 23. And I think he built under... You know how we talk about when Teague took over? Newman really thrived in that system as well, I think. And I agree that Sam Petrescu-Seaton's going to be playing defense and also Doherty, but does that just mean... You know, Daisy Thomas gone. He was getting 20 disposals, 5 marks. It's a bit underrated. He had a disposal game and, you know, fantasy build last year. He was rosterable last year. Plus, you have Cade Simpson, Stevens, as we said. Does he just, if there's too many spots there, does he just step aside this year? As in, does he just play a bit more VFL? Like, I don't know. I don't think Newman's going to dip too much. And I don't really see why he would lose that role where he was awesome.
I put this into perspective. There's one out, Dale Thomas. There is two with question marks, one at the end of career being Steve-O and the second coming back from two ACLs on the trot, Sam Doherty. I think Newman's safe, and so is his role, and so is his scoring output. So that's why I've got him in the top 10.
I'm just doing my best here to quickly get on his disposal efficiency numbers because they're actually quite poor. So for a user of the ball coming out of the back half, you're looking at generally 85 and above disposal efficiency percent, that is. And that's your top tier. He's going at 75.5 last year. Like, is he actually...
I'm happy with that.
Is he a good user?
75%? Yes.
Do you want more out of that role? That percent to me reads, you know, maybe not the best user for that role.
Tell me Dale Thomas's. So, as I go through the next tier, also check Sam Doherty's historic percentage data. So if you're happy, Doss, I'll go through next tier. It's reasonably large because, let's face it, I've been working with Steve for a fair while. So moving on to my fourth tier, at number 12, Brody Smith. At unlucky 13, Jordan Dawson, who I will say, Doss, I have some upside on. Luke Ryan, who, to be honest, I wanted to be up the list much further. I have more security in picking Luke Ryan ahead of Salem and Daniel, to be honest. That's just the personal touch, but the data suggests that that's where he should be. 15, Sam Doherty. 16, Shannon Hearn, with quite a bit of a regression there. 17, Daniel Rich. 18, Hunter Clark. And 19, Connor Blakely.
So I go from Daniel Rich at 12 to Caleb Daniel, Christian Salem, Darcy Byrne-Jones sneaks into that same tier. And then a new tier. Wow. Yeah, new tier of Nick Haynes, Hunter Clark, Zach Williams, and Luke Ryan as well. And the Haynes one might be a big call, but I'm prepared to back that one.
I'll keep going on the Haynes. Have you got that data yet, Cam?
Yeah, so for Doherty, actually, he was slightly better across his career than Nick Newman coming out of that role. But it's marginal, you're right. So it was 81% was his top in 2016.
Yep, fair enough. Now, Haynes, I pose the question because I've always found him as a good streaming option. So we're talking more a D6, D7. Now, with Zach Williams going back to defence, so I see him therefore as the distributor and arguably the interceptor, although I do agree Haynes does a good job. Does that curtail his attacking part of his defensive game because all the mids come back to GWS?
Yeah, no, that's probably my one concern with Haynes because I think what you're saying is that he actually did score quite well in the back half of the season when Williams went to the midfield. In the finals, though, and I'm just trying to bring up the stats now, in the finals he went absolutely bananas with Zilliams playing in the defence line as well. I think it's maybe what we're seeing is it's an absolutely... new way for him to play but I think it was very effective for the Giants, even though they got trounced in the final, in that he's playing that interceptor role that I find really friendly, like super friendly. Just give me 2 seconds. Doss, why don't you take us through your tier for that while I pull up this data?
I think we should just quickly touch on Dan Houston. That's what I'll do here. Okay. Just because we all have him pretty high. I have him at 8. Cam has him at 6. And Statesman has him at 11. I'll just go through the numbers that make him a high pick, in my opinion. And I think this would sort of be where we're all at. It's the fact that he's going, we believe he'll move into the midfield this year. In his final 5 games in 2019, Houston attended 67% of center bounces and averaged 103 AFL fantasy points in that stretch. I don't know if we can all bank on him averaging that much. I mean, it could happen, but I think across a season, you're expecting a pretty big jump from his average from last year. And I think that's why we're all on the same page and having Houston pretty high.
Yeah, and even the reports coming out last week from Match Sim that he was playing in the midfield, that got me... I maybe wasn't across the line yet until I read that article, and now I just can't stop thinking about Houston in the midfield. Is that weird? Yep. Sounds weird.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
Zach Williams, do you want to take us through? Have you got any numbers on... You've got him at 18th. Statesman has him at 7th.
Yeah, and I actually think his average was just massively inflated last year from that stint, those stints in the midfield. Yep. He did not score... He wasn't fantasy-friendly in the early sort of three quarters of the season, and then that shift to the midfield made him... you know, go bananas and score, you know, ton after ton after ton after ton. I don't think that's happening this year. It was so many things had to go right for him to get into the midfield. Imagine your last option. Imagine having to use it like Zach Williams in the midfield. Every other option's exhausted. I don't see that happening this year. And just on Nick Haynes, by the way, round 1992... 20, 104, 21, 89, 22, 99. And then in the two finals, the grand final and the preliminary final, 118 and 119. It's pretty friendly with Zach Williams being there.
Yeah, I'm not exactly convinced that that's the end of the scoring opportunities for Zach Williams. And that's just my thought at the moment. I think one thing that they played some really good football with him being able to use his run and burst of speed. So I wouldn't be surprised that he gets a bit of a license and shares his time around the wing. So I think there are a few other players like Perryman who spent time through that midfield that actually moved back to a more permanent defensive role, which will curb a bit of his scoring. I think Isaac Cumming will also get a fair bit of time as that sort of running defender as well. So I think they'll look at the option of freeing up Zach Williams. But as you say, what we can't confirm 100% is what roles they're going to play. I'm interested in both of you going the hyphen. I haven't even put him in my 30 and maybe a little bit burnt with his his round 22.
Never forget that.
80% game for a massive 8 points.
Yeah, rancid stuff there. But overall, he was massive. And actually, he was a big performer in the back half of the year, aside from that one game. So, yeah, I had him pretty high as well, around the same as Cam. And is there any other players? I think we should move on. We're pretty deep into this pod. We better move on. But if there is any other players, just mention them as we go.
Okay, my next tier, number 20, Alex Witherden, and that's with a fair bump, but nowhere near his first two seasons average. And he's one person I actually wanted a lot higher. So my gut feel is saying that Luke Hodge gone, Alex Witherden up. 21, Lockie Weller, 22, Brad Shepherd, 23, JJ. 24, the man we talked about before, Petrevsky Seaton. 25, Miller, and I wanted him higher, but I just couldn't give him the evidence to take him, and that's actually giving him a bump, and that ends out that tier.
Cam.
So I have Connor Blakely starting this tier, Sam Petrevsky Seaton, in the same spot as you, Stato. I can't believe we've ranked one the same. I feel a little bit dirty. I'll change that later. Adam Chera coming in next. Nick Newman, that's where I've got him at 23. Wayne Miller at 24. And Jaden Short slips into 25.
And just to make this tier reasonably quick, I like Chera. He actually fits into my 30 later on. But I will say, Doss, you just got a bit of information correct. 24 is the right ranking for Andrew McGrath, but that's midfield.
Yes, I'm aware of that, Statesman. I did put that in the document that I stuffed that up. Just give him some love for Andy McGhost, who probably won't get...
Who will make 24 in the midfield rankings.
Ugh. What?
Yeah. Cam, take us
heard
through
it,
yours.
Heard it here first.
This is the last show we're having Statesman on, though, right? So there's no way he's...
Whoa. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't have too much to say except for Jaden Short. I think maybe he's undersold a little bit there by you, Stato. Does he come into your top 30 later?
No.
Wow. Okay,
no, cool. Not even wow, consideration. Again, looking at that mixture, if you put the balance, you're sharing points, you guys are both sharing points, Hooley and Short. I'm just not convinced on Short yet.
Okay, cool. And then the other one for me would be the avocado himself, Brad Shepherd. What do you like there?
His intercept role, I have a slight regression from last year, so he's hitting just under his results. And I think the further that Shannon sort of drops down that list, the more Brad will actually increase. But he's really taken that link role. So there's a lot of plus sixes in his scoring build. I don't think he'll hit where he did last year, but I don't think he'd be too far away.
Okay. Cool. That's probably me.
All righty. Just touching on Shannon Hearn, one of the bigger regression people from front half to back half, dropped 20 points from round 1 to 10, averaged over a ton, and 11 to 23, he averaged just a tick over 80. So I think we all sort of have factored in a bit of a regression from Shannon Hearn. All right. Take Absolutely. Us through your final tier, Statesman, from 26 to 30.
26, Matthew Suckling. 27, Harry Cunningham. The person that will be devilish towards Jordan Dawson scoring. 28, Callum Mills. 29, Ryan Burton. And number 30, just fitting in, Cam's hot man, Chera.
Okay, so mine, I jump from... And my tier that we just talked through before has two extra entrants. So 26 is Johannesson and 27 is Witherden. And then we start a new tier with Heath Shaw, Hammer Hartlett, and Paul Ahern.
You two working together. Both have Hartlett at 29 and Ahern at 30.
Yeah, I think Doss has maybe seen my ranks and it's maybe influenced him a little bit. But, yeah, I think it's interesting that neither of you have rated Heater at all.
Yeah, huge regression for me.
I actually think he'll be okay. Like, he's just going to keep waddling and kicking. And that's all he needs to do. I don't think he was overly good as a lockdown defender last year, so why would they have him go round again if they weren't going to use him? I think there's probably enough...
That was the right phrase.
Which? Why would he go round
again?
That
was the right... Yeah.
Because he loves to waddle. He set a PB in the time trial. PB!
Look, he's fantastic.
Did he actually?
Yeah.
Well, I'm all in.
He's fantastic and he's great on social media. I reckon he's just an absolute ripper. But there is a point where they need to advance. So I think it's one of those, if they're in the mix for a premiership, then he keeps on being one of the generals. If it ever gets to a point of going, okay, it's not this year, we need to reboot, then
yep.
Things change. Now, I'm not expecting that with that list, to be fair. But they're the type of things I'm always thinking about. Is he 34?
Yeah, he may as well be 100 at this point.
Yeah, there is a regression point somewhere that the age catches up and it comes really quickly.
Yeah, I actually think that was last year, though. Like, he did drop significantly last year. And I reckon he can maybe plateau for the rest of his career. The one that I find interesting in your state, though, too, actually, and maybe this is your Swans bias coming in, but Callum Mills... Ooh. And Harry Cunningham. Callum Mills, they've said that he's...
Cunningham, I'm not excited about, but the reality is he was setting a magnificent pace till he got injured. Mm. So he's a mid-80s averaging guy. And this is, if you actually look at his injury, is right at the time when Dawson started to get an increased role. So that's why part of that, who's what role there. Callum Mills, it's like Andy McGrath, I'm sticking fat until I'm proven wrong. But it's like, okay, fifth year, let's go.
But
where's that burst?
It's not this year, I reckon. And the only reason I say that is they've come out and said that, you know, eventually they still see him in the midfield, but it's not this year.
And he's the type that they want the ball in the hand of. So it's just a case of when, and I will say he was tracking really well. We're talking an 80 average defender, which is in that sort of tier mix, until there were enough injuries that he had to play as a key defender. So he had to play as a key stopper. So if you look at the end of the year, he really tracked down.
Okay. Doss, you have a Hearn, mate, and I have a Hearn. What do you think?
I think when you get to this sort of tiering, these guys, I mean, I don't know how far you guys haven't projected, but it's a bit over 80 points is sort of where we're at this point in the thing. And I think with Paul Ahern, we saw him play in a defensive role and I think average around an 84 mark when he was sort of in that position. And you're just looking at their defensive stocks and who they've got to take the ball out of defense, and it's basically Jasper Petard and pretty much no one else.
Jasper.
So without, apart from Sweet Jasper, I think there's a spot there for him, for Paul Ahern, to rack up a few disposals, maybe in the, you know, like a Jamie McMillan type role that he had last year, and just, you know, get us some nice scores. But to be honest, I mean, like at this point with an 80 plus average, I think I'd prefer to take someone with a bit of upside than, you know, someone that I feel is either regressing or just a punt at that point. We'll have to see in the preseason. He could drop out if we say the role's just not there.
So quick question. These are the players we've all not listed here. Is there any that we should be discussing? Michael Hurley, Jimmy Webster, Carl Hooker, Shane Savage, Jeremy Howe.
Yeah, and I actually have Maynard in that group as well. I think Maynard could be in for a bit of a breakout this year, which
solid performer.
Yep, I think Dylan Robertson's name might be mentioned as well for some people.
And maybe, I don't want to say it because, oh God, I'm going to say it. Another Geelong player, Zach Tui, don't kill me. I think he'll bounce back a little bit to about a 79, 80-ish average.
You and I made that error last year, Ken.
I know, and now I'm doing the same thing that you are with Callum Mills. I'll just ride that train until I'm proven wrong again.
But you've got an upside for Stewart, but you're saying Tui has an upside as well.
Yeah, so Tui's downside last year was they didn't play him in his role ever. Like, he was just constantly, he was a forward tagger.
Why? Why didn't they play him in his role?
Lack of fitness and confidence is what drove it, I would suggest.
How young is he now?
So he's 30, but he's not injured this preseason. Last year he was injured in the preseason and he didn't play until like round 8 or something.
Now, one player we didn't talk about that both Doss and I have, but you don't, is Lachie Weller.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good. And he was my apology. Like, I have an apology section. An apology to Lachie Weller for missing out. But I think he'll be as good as he was last year. But for me, I find the whole Suns team really hard to rank.
Oh, yeah.
In a risk-averse way, I've just sort of said, you know what, he's going to be okay, but I have no idea what that okay looks like.
Yeah, but once you're that attractive, don't you just get into lists anyway?
Is he? Is he a looker?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Good Tassie boy. Good stuff.
I think we'd also be remiss of not mentioning Grant Birchall. Just if Jono has a listen, he might get pretty angry with us there.
Yep.
All right, I think that's all we'll go through. Otherwise, we'll just be talking all night long about defender rankings. Obviously, there's plenty of players to choose from. But just a reminder, we release on a Wednesday during the off-season. Subscribe or follow us on your favorite podcast app for free so you don't miss a show. And if you're into Supercoach, we have a separate podcast going through defenders with Stevie Fizz and Jono Crockett. If you like this episode, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Now, there's going to be an added bonus because we often do some stupid stuff when we hit certain targets. And right now, we're just 8 ratings away from getting Stay Tony Hawk to do a kickflip. Stato, thoughts?
Yeah, I've spoken to HR and they have agreed that these challenges are fair and reasonable, even though I put some disputes up. But what they have also stated is, like anything, when we're talking leave, when we're talking about salary, it's all about pro rata. So what they've agreed to in the terms that I'll accept that I'll handle this challenge, but it'll be on the pro rata from other members actually delivering their bet. So currently I'm doing 1 out of every 8 podcasts. So that means I have 8 times the distance of you actually achieving your goal, which was a cartoon book, if I remember correctly, which has now been over 12 months. So once we hit that target, I've got roughly about 9.5 years to complete. So I will accept the challenge on the pro rata criteria.
Is there also a thing about paying off our preseason bets that we made last year as well? Because I believe both of you owe me a little something something and yet to receive it in the mail, boys.
Actually, Cam and I had 2. So I converted, rather than him pay me, that the one of the 2 he owes me goes to you. Oh. Well, the 1 he owes me goes to you.
Classic Dossie just throwing people under the bus, though, there. Offering to, you know, send him some money to actually go and buy the grog, and he says, no, don't worry about it. He's been using it for...
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. He's waiting for material here.
Content builder. Yeah.
It was, don't worry about it, I want it through the mail. I want to see your pain on the mailing package. Now, anyway, hit up thedraftdoctors.com.au for all things draft and tune in next week because we'll be doing forwards. Hit us up on the socials at The Draft Doctors on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. Thank you very much, Stato, for joining us again back on board.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.